Hi there, welcome. Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Can you actually believe how far into August we are already? Hi, I'm Denise Oliver. This is Empowerment Hour. And I don't know about any of you, but I'm actually missing the fact that I didn't have my holiday in June. And I'm seeing people now who are flying off to places where you can be guaranteed the sunshine and it doesn't disappear behind clouds like we're having at the moment. We have a couple of lovely days and then bump, it stops. Can't change the weather that I'm aware of. So what can we change? Well, we can change our stories. We can change where we're stuck in our worlds. And there are many, many, many modalities out there that can assist us with doing that can give us tools and techniques on how we can change us. And actually, at the end of the day, the only person who can change you is you. No one else, only you. Now, you may not have all the information you require. Recently, I've been to a natural health practice to gain insight into stuff that's going on with my body that I can't get to on my own. And I do that to get that information. Then I take that information and I work with it. And that's the same with any of us. If you're stuck somehow, then you may need someone like my guest today. So, who is my guest? My guest is Carol Hickson. Carol's based in Northwich, and with these wonders of technology, we can all access her. So, Carol, good morning, welcome, and thank you so much for being here. Because Carol stepped up at the last minute as my guest, who was going to be on the show today, couldn't make it in the end. So, I am so grateful to you. Thank you so very much. So, please reveal yourself. So this is like that blind date moment. So contestant number one, what's your name? Where do you come from?
Well, hi everybody. I'm Carol Hickson. As you say, I live in Northwich. I've got three children, all grown up. The eldest is 31 in September. And so, yeah. And as you say, I'm a multidisciplined therapist. Live with Rich, who's a musician, and he works for one of the big banks. Got a therapy dog in training, Cozumel,
Really?
and a French cat called Jade. And that's my life. Well,
Therapy dog, what does that mean?
I'm hoping that she's going to be able to help me in the therapy room when she's done a training, so that particularly with more anxious clients, or we've had some while she's sort of been doing a training, we've had some lovely results with people with dementia. She's very intuitive. So at the moment she's doing her kennel club exams, if you like. But
Places.
hopefully she will go on to be a therapy dog.
Right, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that because a friend of mine who now lives in New Zealand, my dearest, dearest friend of I don't know how many years, far too many, she had a dog called Benji and she used to take him into work because she worked with dementia patients. And Benji was the life and soul of the home, the care home. Well, it wasn't a care home, it was attached to a hospital that she went to. And they were called patter dogs at the time. So these dogs could go in and people could stroke them and pat them. And it brought an ease and a calm into their world, especially if they'd had a dog themselves. And often Benji got called a different name by every person that he went to because they identified him with the dog they used to have. And Benji got very fat because of all the treats that people would give him. So yeah, he was a beautiful, beautiful black and white. What do you call them? Like sheepdog. Can't think of their name. Collie. So he was one of those. So what type of dog do you have?
Well, she's a Welsh, a mix. She's a mongrel. She's a Bordoodle. So
Okay.
she's a Welsh border collie, mixed with a miniature poodle.
Goodness, what a mixture.
And she's absolutely beautiful. She's one of eight, and they've all got the most beautiful nature. And we find out today if mum and dad have been successful with their second litter, in which case Cosimo will be getting a brother or sister.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, I love that. Carol, that's our introduction to you. We're going to go to a break now. And then when we come back, I'd love to find out more about your story and what led you into the therapies that you now offer. So we'll take that break and we'll be back shortly. Hi there, everyone. Welcome back. This is Empowerment Hour. I'm your host, Denise Oliver. My guest today is Carol Hixon. And Carol, you are a hypnotherapist, life coach. You offer EFT, CBT, Reiki, mindfulness, a lovely, lovely bundle of things to offer people for their stuckness and their story. So tell us a bit more about you and how you came to go from who you were to where you are now.
Okay, I was somebody who never realised that they were anxious. And I meet a lot of people who never realise that they're anxious or stressed. And it was the result of childhood trauma. And I only really found that out probably in the last few years as I've got really begun to really research the mind. So childhood trauma has had a big effect through my life. But in 2016, I was suffering from 5 prolapsed discs, 3 in my lumbar region and 2 in my neck. I'd got a diagnosis of dystonia. They said that I was paralysing into the left-hand side of my body. And I was a disabled blue badge holder at the time. But even worse than that was I was partway through a 4-year bout of insomnia. And at that point, I was sleeping for 56 minutes a night. And I was exhausted. I'd lost the ability to yawn. I'd lost the ability to nap. I had 3 MRIs in 2016. And nobody could give me any hope. I saw one of the top neurologists in the Northwest. And all of the medication they were giving me, nothing touched it. I'm talking the top end that only a neurologist can prescribe. And I would just sit wide awake. And I didn't know at the time, but it was the fight or flight response that was just, I was locked into. I remember saying to the neurologist, because he literally said to me, if we can't sort this, you won't be here in a year.
Wow.
And I remember saying to him, I will sort this. And when I do, I will help other people with insomnia, because there is not a lot out there for them. And I'm pleased to say that I did. But Christmas 2016 was horrendous.
I was going to stop you. I'm really glad you're laughing about that now.
Well, I mean, I can tell you a very, very briefly about the horrendous week before Christmas. So I think something like on the Monday, I saw the specialist who told me that I had dystonia and that I was paralysing into the left-hand side of my body, and he wanted me to have surgery in January. I'd had an argument with my mum, and when I say argument, that's probably not the right word to use. I put a boundary in with my mum. I mentioned a traumatic childhood, and I won't go beyond that, but I put a boundary in with my mum and it didn't go down well. 2 days after the diagnosis of dystonia, we were going to a spa just to get ready for Christmas. A car shunted us into the car in front. I've just been told that I've got dystonia, now I've got whiplash. So I was taken to hospital with whiplash. The next day, I said to the children, nobody is leaving the house. We're staying here. We can go to the pub on Christmas Eve and we're not doing anything else. Christmas Day, we'd got a guy from the pub who had nobody to go to. We'd invited him. We're all sat down to Christmas dinner. We get a knock on the front door. It's my sister-in-law. And she said, you need to come. Your mum's dead. So this was Christmas Day. So we went to mum's house and waited for the coroner, as you do. The day after Boxing Day, I phoned my auntie, said, I didn't want to phone you over Christmas and spoil Christmas, but just to let you know, Mum died on Christmas Day. She said, we didn't want to spoil your Christmas, but your uncle died on Boxing Day. And I don't know if you've ever had that kind of time in your life. I've got the back, I've got the insomnia, I've got whiplash. So now I've had to give up my job, and I was a peripatetic teacher, driving hundreds of miles a week, working in four different schools. And suddenly I got hit over the head by a hammer, and the universe was literally saying, yeah, time to wake up now, Carol.
Yeah, if all of that wasn't going to wake you up to something and something else, I don't know what would have done. I mean, I have a story as well, and it's not dissimilar. Mine's a little more extended than that, but I totally get what you went through. And you must have been like, okay, what else could happen now? Just bring it on, because could it get any worse than this? Probably not. But go on, universe, you can show me.
Yeah, I've had those conversations with the universe.
I bet there's an awful lot of people been having conversations with the universe while we've been in lockdown. Because, you know, it's been a very, very difficult and different time for so many people. And your story will resonate with so many. So we're going to take a break. And what I'd like to come back and talk about is, you mentioned fight or flight. I'd love you, when we come back after this next song, to actually give us an indication of what that does to us when we don't even recognize that we're in that state, that anxiety, that fight or flight, and where we're basically freezing up. And then stuff seems to happen around us that is just like, what else? What else? You know, we just feel like we're just sinking deeper into this pit of despair. So let's go to break now. Hi there, welcome back. This is Empowerment Hour. My guest is Carol Hickson. And, Carol's just given us her story, which I know many of you will be able to relate to out there. Carol, you mentioned the fight or flight response. So would you give us more insight into what that is and how it's affecting our bodies?
This is the piece of the jigsaw for me that really we don't really get told. But if you imagine, our bodies are designed with this response. It's not a response that we can control. So that's the first thing that people need to understand, because sometimes we're so hard on ourselves about, you know, when we think we've got anxiety or stress. This is a natural response in our brain. Our brain triggers a response. And if you imagine, if you're running or fighting for your life, you need energy in a particular place. So you need the energy, for example, in your legs and in your hands, because you need to run or fight for your lives. So people who have anxiety often complain of restlessness in their hands and feet, can't sit still, fidgety. And when I point out the fight or flight response, there's always a ka-ching moment as we go through it. If you're running or fighting for your life, you don't need to digest a takeaway or your dinner. So your digestive system closes down. So people with anxiety will often talk about nausea or problems eating. And a lot of people will put weight on around their waist. And again, if you're dealing with fight or flight, the heart, the pump, needs to pump faster. So people with anxiety will talk about, I've got these heart palpitations. And again, the same with shortness of breath. We've not, for me, there's never enough opportunity to say to people, I think you might be running fight or flight. One of the questions I ask people, and I always see them looking sheepish, because often they'll deny, no, I don't have anxiety or stress. And so I ask a simple question. On a nice day, take this weekend, are you able to sit in the garden with a book and do nothing for a couple of hours? Or are you the person who has to get up, deadhead the roses, pull up the weeds, just literally, you're always doing something. A lady said to me the other day, oh, no, I'm fine in the garden. She said, once I've brushed the path down and started on this list of chores, I'm fine. And she said, and in the house, as soon as I've loaded the washer and emptied the dishwasher, and she couldn't see that even that she had to do this ritual before she could even reward herself, if you like, with sitting down and reading a book or watching TV. That for me is a really big indicator that you might be running the fight or flight response.
I could totally identify with that. So I'm not like that now. I've always just categorized myself as, well, I'm a doer. It's what I do, you know. And if I was, well, years ago, taking the kids to school, if I hadn't loaded the dishwasher and got at least one load of washing on, I wasn't okay. And it became, and I know you help people with obsessive compulsive disorders as well, it became that extreme. And I think it was more I was attempting to control what was going on. And so I totally get it. And I, you know, and I think that people think they have to be on the go all the time. And even for some people, they have to read that book or else, you know, and that's an anxiety as well. It's not a pleasure. They no. don't sit and read because it's a pleasure.
No.
Yeah, I totally get it. I wrote a thing on, like a blog post, but I put it on Facebook. I'm someone who, if I don't have time for me, time to be with me, time to stop and just, you know, smell the coffee, watch the roses grow, I can't function. I know that I have to have that downtime. And you have to work out what downtime is for you. And I got to a point where I would walk in the kitchen and I'd see the mess that, because I've got three kids as well, all grown up like yours. And I used to set two and just get it out of the way and clear it and think, oh my God, why can't they, why? And then I just one day walked in the kitchen, it's like, I don't have to do this. No. And I turned around and walked out.
Yeah.
I remember it clearly. It's like, oh, I don't have to do this. Yeah, it's also the point at which, this is several years ago now, in fact, we worked out that my lovely cleaner, Jeanette, has been coming to my house now for over 9 years. And so that's how long I've been working on what we've been going on for years before that. And it was that, actually, I don't have to clean anything. I don't have to be the person that's chasing her tail all the time just because no one else in the house can be bothered. I don't have to take it on board. There's nowhere, I don't have a contract with anyone that says that this house will be clean from top to bottom every 5 seconds by me.
It's true. And there's a terrifying statistic that goes with all of this, Denise. 95% of all disease and illness has a stress root. You think of the word disease, dis-ease. Yeah. Our body is not comfortable in itself. And that is where I think for me, I feel concerned and worried.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to take a break. Let's come back and look at the therapies that you offer and what it is about those that can assist someone in an anxious state, even when they don't recognize it. Anyone with stress, phobias, not sleeping, the insomnia, that sort of thing. What is it about your therapies that can actually assist people? What is it you teach them that they don't already know? So we're going to take a break now. Hi there, welcome back. This is Empowerment Hour. I'm Denise Oliver. My guest is Carol Hickson. And before we go back to Carol, I just want to say a huge thank you to Amy once again. I'm not sure how many shows she's now edited on my behalf because we're not allowed back in the studio yet. Amy has been amazing. She's kept Callan FM on the road. She's the station manager there. And I know sometimes that there's a responsibility there that weighs heavy on her shoulders, but she's doing an amazing job. So hats off to you, Amy. Thank you so, so very much. Me sitting in front of my laptop with a guest sitting in front of theirs is just the start of getting this show on the road. So, Amy, brilliant job. Thank you so much. So, Carol, you have an array of therapies at your fingertips that you've studied. So where did it start? Which one did you start with? Did you have a session with someone when you were going through everything that you went through in 2016? How did it happen?
I actually had an EFT session with somebody, and that's the emotional freedom technique, and people might have seen Paul McKenna use it. It's also called tapping. I had an emotional freedom technique in 2016 session, and I remember sitting there thinking, well, there's an hour of my life I'll never get back. I had Reiki, I had mindfulness, I had reflexology, I tried everything. But after the Christmas, when everything was up in the air, it came up on my Facebook, the Tapping Summit it was called. And I listened to that, and it's just a group of experts who do the emotional freedom technique. And I listened to it and I thought, oh, okay, perhaps it's not as odd as it felt when I tried before Christmas. I realise now I wasn't in the right mindset. You have to be in a certain place before you can do this transformational stuff. So I went on EFT training at the end of March, and I had the most amazing results. That was the weekend I gave up my blue badge, and that was the weekend that I slept for 5 hours. And the emotional freedom technique, one, it calms the nervous system down. We talked about fight or flight. The nervous system has been engaged. It disengages the nervous system. And the other thing it does, very like hypnotherapy, it gives us a way to communicate with the subconscious mind. And for those people who don't know, the subconscious mind is a record of every thought, every feeling, every experience we've ever, ever had. And the conscious mind is, you know, the mind that you consciously decide what you're putting on today, that, you know, that made me offer to come on as a guest. That's my conscious mind. The subconscious mind carries every emotion, every experience we've ever had, and it's 20 times stronger than the conscious mind. EFT, hypnotherapy, work with the subconscious mind, because we can get a quicker, more effective result. It's, for me, it's a bit like you can do your gardening and you can just cut a weed off at the top on the surface, or you can get under the root in the quickest possible way and pull it out by the root, and there's less chance then of that problem coming back. That's what we do with EFT and hypnotherapy.
Any sort of example of clients and what's changed for them when you do this?
Yes. The first lady that I helped with chronic pain after I qualified had been on gabapentin and cocodamol for 25 years. Enormous, enormous quantities of it. After the first session, and she'd come with bad back, and she'd had back surgery twice. After the first session, she actually came off the cocodamol, I think. We started to reduce it. We started to take, because I can't help anybody reduce medication. So the gabapentin, she had to go through a doctor. But the cocodamol, we started taking out the midday dose, and then we started taking out. And she came off. Over a 6 month period, I think, she came off all the medications she'd been on for 20 years, to the point where from coming in to see me and she could barely walk in, she just was doing the normal things that a 60 year old could now do. That was just an amazing result. Amazing client with OCD who used to wash her hands for 2.5 hours a day until they bled, you know, they were. And she's just turned her life around with these techniques. And obviously we're not promising miracles, but what we're doing in these techniques is we're calming the nervous system. We're having a dialogue with the subconscious mind. And the important thing is, and it's the clients who practice who get this, I give you a toolbox. I give you a set of techniques, depending on what you need, to calm the nervous system. And then you practice. So I ask people who work with me to put in a minimum of 30 minutes a day at home doing these things. And just like anything else, you know, if we go to the gym and we want to get a good result, we practice. It's the same with our brain. It doesn't take that long, maybe a month. But some people, as I say, straight after the first session, they've already felt some clarity, because when you're running on the subconscious mind in fight or flight, 80% of the blood flow gets cut down to your little cognitive brain. So literally, instead of I'm running on 5%, I'm now running on 1%, because all the emotion is stopping the blood flow. So once we can calm people down and they can start being a bit more clear about things, that's when we start getting the results.
Cool. That's amazing. I've never heard it explained like that. So that's really, I love that. That's great. Carol, we're going to go to another break now. Thank you for all of this information. It is fabulous. We'll give out your contact details at the end of the show. After this break, I want to come back and find out more about how come you've ended up in a book. So I'm excited to know how you've done that and what it's all about. So we'll take a break now. Hello, everyone. We're back. This is Empowerment Hour. I'm Denise Oliver. My guest is Carol Hickson. And Carol practices many therapies, hypnotherapy, EFT, CBT, Reiki, mindfulness, and she's a life coach. And recently you've written something for a book. So tell us all about that.
I did my mindfulness teacher training with a guy called Shamash Alidini, and he's the author of Mindfulness for Dummies. And I've done some further training with him on various techniques. And he just put out that he was writing a book. It's called 21 Stories of Transformation. And if anybody had a story that, you know, might be of interest, to submit it. And I was emailed the other day, and I've been chosen to have my story put out there, along with, he's asked everybody to invent, if they can, a new mindfulness technique and record a mindfulness meditation as well. So it's going to be quite an interesting chapter. And it's just about getting that point across, because you said something really interesting about, you know, I'm a doer. And I was the same. It was a badge of honour that you'd get all these things done. It's just what a mum does. But actually what I've realised is we are human beings. We're not human doings. We do need to recharge. We recharge our phones. We recharge our car batteries if we need to. We need to recharge ourselves.
I always love the quote from Deepak Chopra: we were born human beings, we become human doings and human stressings. And I just, and that really chimed with me easily 10 years ago now. And I'm always so glad I was a nurse in a former life. It was like a long, long time ago. And I did that swap over through ill health to very much more alternative and complementary practices. And he was one of the people that I somehow got his energy and felt like everything I read that he was writing was written for me. Yes. At the time. And that's taken me on quite a journey. I've not been asked to contribute to a book, but you never know. It could happen. Anything is possible, isn't it? Can I just ask you, physically, are you okay now? How's your back and your neck and your prolapsed discs and all of that?
Yeah, I gave up my blue badge in March 2017. I don't think I've taken any medication since then. I do have a slant to my neck. I don't know if you can notice it, but my head doesn't sit properly. But that is the only issue that has come about because of, you know, of these problems that they told me I had. I've had no operations. And yeah, I'm fine. I sleep well.
That would be my next question. How many hours do you sleep?
I probably sleep for 5 hours. I think once you've had fragility, particularly around sleep, you have to be realistic. But 5 hours for me, some days, some nights, don't get me wrong, it can be 7 hours. I'm grateful for 5 hours sleep. You know, I think once we start being grateful for what we have rather than what we don't have, I think it's just the filters just change totally.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I didn't get how much appreciating things and being grateful for things wasn't a weakness. It was almost like if I was grateful, I was like I'd been begging for something. And so I had to be grateful. But actually, no, when I look out my window and I see how verdant everything is, it's like, I'm so grateful to have all of this on my doorstep, yeah, outside my window. And it just uplifts me. And it's that switch in the story that always fascinates me. Because if you've got yourself into a situation, you can actually get yourself out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've got this story of stuckness to tell, actually, you can tell a different one.
Yeah.
And I get that not everyone wants to get out of their story. Somehow it serves them. They have a purpose with it. They like the trauma and the drama of it all. And actually, those are the people I move away from these days. It's like, great, you enjoy that. Mm. Whatever you're getting out of that, you enjoy that. But that doesn't work for me anymore. And so I want to be around people who know where they've been, but also are open to possibilities and open to, yeah, whatever shows up, and knowing that they have, if they have the chemicals for fight or flight within them, they have the chemicals for ease and joy as well. So, you know, we are all of that. We are going to go to another break, and when we come back, we'll find out all about your contact details and how we can get hold of you. So thank you so much for being with me today, Carol. I really appreciate it. And did you tell us the name of the book that you're going to be in?
I think they're calling it 21 Stories of Transformation.
Cool. Yeah, lovely. We wait. Just tell us when it's out, and I'll share it on social media, which is what I do. Cool. Let's take a break. Hi, everyone. Final section. So, Carol, over to you. How do we find you? Where are you in this whole weirdness of internet world?
Okay, I'm at my website is www.carolhickson.co.uk. There are lots of resources on there for people, and I'd love them to, you know, to go along. There's an anxiety booklet. There's a hypnotherapy download, relaxation, and adding new things all the time. You can find me on Facebook, Carol Hickson, therapist, life coach and resilience trainer. Again, through lockdown, I put lots of videos up showing lots and lots of techniques, particularly to calm the fight or flight response, to calm the nervous system. I'm on LinkedIn if anybody would like to connect with me there. I'm just like everybody else, I suppose, just trying to get my head around social media a little bit more. Gone from being a therapist to suddenly learning about brands and, you know, how you boost a post on Facebook.
So. Yeah, I know where you're coming from. I've just very briefly, as we are at the end of the show, my daughter in lockdown was unemployed. She's started her own business, and as a result of being unemployed, and oh my, the things that she can do on a phone. I don't even want to know how to, thank you. It's like, oh, it's just incredible what that generation that we've created, just how used to having these they are. Give me a book any day, preferably a chair in the garden that I can read it from. And I'm a happy bunny, but they are just so dexterous with all of this. They don't worry about getting it absolutely right. They just do it. And they're out there and they're like, oh, that's not quite right. I'll change that tomorrow. I'd love that. I just love that. It's like, yeah, don't get anxious about it. Don't get stressed. Change it tomorrow. Really cool.
When I was doing my teacher training, there's a really, really good article, Digital Natives, Digital Immigrants. They're digital natives. We're digital immigrants. And it, you know, it just makes so much sense. Having said that, you know, Zoom's amazing, isn't it? You know, yeah. I'm doing all my consultations on Zoom at the moment. So we get there, don't we? We just maybe takes us a little bit longer than than it takes our children.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I used to say, find me a teenager that can help me out. Now those teenagers are 20-somethings. It's like, find me a 20-something that can help me out. Carol, we are at the end of the show. Thank you so, so very much for being here. Really, really appreciate it. Yeah, if you are stuck in your story and you'd like to contact Carol, she is on social media and she does have a website that is her name, www.carolhickson.co.uk or .com?
Yeah, .co.uk.
Thanks, everyone. You've been listening to Empowerment Hour. I'm Denise Oliver. I'll be back with you next week. Do stay with us today. Lots more coming up on Callan FM. So bye for now, everyone. Bye.